It's Tuesday, October 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Wow, I have a great show for you. I mean, we have a stack of stuff here. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. Coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How are you? Welcome to the show. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. And I tell you, it's just been an amazing news day. It really has. I just couldn't, you know, I've actually got too much stuff. So we're going to have to hurry through the administrative stuff, as I call it, and get into the content here in a few minutes. But wow, if I got some news, get into that as well on the home front. But otherwise, hey, all of you that are long-term subscribers of the show, hey, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana here. And, of course, thanks for staying subscribed. For those of you who are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great online content over there. Of course, click on the podcast link to check out the archive podcast. Sign up for the newsletter, and you can find that available in the third column of the website. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, wow, what a weekend, what a start to the week. Got some great stuff to tell you about here. But first and foremost, I have a little confession to make. I went back to the doctor this morning, and that was primarily because I had a physical scheduled. Now, you know, I had that terrible cold. Gosh, it's been, what, a month, 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks ago, quite a while now. And yet, even though they loaded me up with medicine and everything else, I still have a little bit of a persistent cough. So I'm back in to see the doc this morning. First part is just a regular full-blown physical. I mean, end-to-end blood, urine, all the things docs do to guys that are 40 and above, and, you know, just the full 9 yards. And we got into the consultation part. And I'm telling him, I said, "Doc, you know, what's going on with this, you know, this lingering cough?" And he got to tell me that essentially, where I had worked at, it just had run rampant, and people were coming down with bronchitis. And he said this particular strain has just been real nasty, and people have been, you know, some people have really gotten hit hard by it. And he says, told me that this cough could hang out for another 4 to 5 weeks. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Usually during the day, I'm good, but about the time I get ready to do the show and get late in the evening, I start just. I'm still not clear, but there's, you know, it's this dry, raspy cough, and I'm sure you guys can probably hear it in the show from time to time, but there's nothing he can do. He says it's just going to have to run its course, but went through, and all the blood work will get done tomorrow, so I have the results on how my cholesterol is and all that other good stuff, but anyway, you guys don't want to hear about that, but overall, I guess the ticker is still working the way it's supposed to. At least that's what the EKG showed when they read it. But wow, some exciting stuff this weekend. You know, I had told my lovely wife, I said, "Honey, you know, I love you very much, but, you know, come October 15th, if we haven't found a house yet, I'm going to pull the plug on house hunting, and then we're just going to rent." And I had told her this maybe a month or so ago. And we had actually found a house the weekend before that she liked. And I was doing some searches and found a house that had come down in price that was in the same neighborhood, but it was a single level home. I thought, well, it was a little bit more than I wanted to spend, but it just looked to be a much nicer house. So Sunday afternoon, we got in the car and had her dad with this, her mom and her sister and my niece. They went somewhere else. I don't remember where they went. They went in a different direction, but we ended up out, basically, believe it or not, we looked for houses for 3 hours. at 2 hours and 30 minutes, last house, I mean, I'm not kidding you, the last house we're going to stop at is this house that I had flagged a couple of days earlier in the searches I was going to do. And we drove up to the front of the driveway. The first thing my wife says, "Oh, this looks nice." And I'm thinking, this is good. She doesn't say this very often. I'm hearing her father agreeing a bit. Just, you know, the street presence looks good. Got out of the car, walked in the house. I'm thinking to myself, looks pretty good. Got into a part of the house where there would be an absolute just beautiful place for a studio. And I'm thinking, oh, please, 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 please have her like this house. So what I've been doing up to this point is always saying to her, "So, honey, what do you think of that one?" And she gives me this, "I don't know. I don't know." She's giving me the "I don't know" for about 300. I think I counted. We had looked at like 327 houses prior to this. I'm not kidding. It was that many. And so I said to her, so what do you think? She says, "I can get excited about this one." I was like, oh my goodness, thank you, thank you. So it is a little bit more money than I wanted to spend, but it's not a lot more than the last one she was looking at that she liked. So the offer is in. I have finished signing a 13-page offer today, so we should know by tomorrow at 5 whether or not the offer is accepted or not. So keep our fingers crossed on that and see how it rolls. I keep you advised, of course. But, wow, anyway, as we met with the realtor this afternoon, because the realtor had not seen it yet, I had to be back here at the house at 3 o'clock my time for a conference call. And I had left where I was at and had rushed over and got into the house. And she called and said, "Hey, I'm running late. I'm not going to be able to be there till 2:30. And I was totally aggravated because that's about the time I would have had to have actually left. So I'm doing the calculations, thinking about traffic and everything. And I hung out and she shows up right at 2:30 and comes in And, you know, I can just tell that she's not acting quite right. And I'm like, "Burl, what's going on?" I say, what's happening? And she goes, "Oh, I just put my husband in the hospital." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, I just dropped him off and checked him in." And I'm like, "Well, why didn't you tell me? Because we could have waited." She didn't say anything to us over the phone about that. And she goes, "No, I know you guys are excited about the house. You wanted to come out." And I got to question her a little bit more. So what's going on? Is everything okay? And I guess it is not. And we did not know exactly what was happening. But I here you are, you're all wrapped up in yourself and you're irritated. And then someone comes in and you're irritated. You're like, "Oh, why are they late?" And yet they have significant concerns for family members and someone go in the hospital. I feel it like a real high. You felt about an inch tall. And it just, it's kind of a wake-up call for me to, come on, Todd. Just realize that the world doesn't revolve around you. And so it's a little bit of a, punch me in the chest type of thing. But I think we all need to do that from time to time, a step back. And I'm a go, 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 go type person. So I really have to do that as much as I can and be careful not to be too demanding of people. So I hope her husband is going to do better. And of course, her family goes out in her and her husband going to our thoughts and prayers this evening, of course. And we'll be thinking about her as he goes through what he has to go through. Meanwhile, back in class, so first day was my first day back in class. Not only did I almost need to back up here. I skipped around a little bit. Shoko's been complaining, and many of you guys out there probably snore a little bit, and some of you probably even snore a little bit and have a little itty bitty part of a little bit of sleep apnea. And she's been saying, "Hey, your snoring has gotten much, much worse." It's probably a contribution that I probably put on 10 pounds, but, that's probably added to it. But she says, "You're scaring me. I think you're got a little sleep apnea going on." And I'm like, "Really?" And, that's not something to fool around with. So I talked to the doc about that. And he's going to get me in a sleep study. So we're going to see if there's something going on here. And meanwhile, I've got to get back on the healthy mode and get some pounds off. So I'll be once again watching what I eat more carefully. But anyway, enough on that. Hey, laptop donations are up. I want to thank everyone that's been contributing for that. I think we had two or three that came in the last couple of days here, a couple of real nice-sized ones. So we're starting to make some good progress on that, and hopefully we can get within striking distance of getting one of those here. Sure, I appreciate everyone pledging money so far on that, and I hope that you continue to do so. As well, please continue to support the sponsors here. I really need your support now that I'm going to be buying a little more house than I wanted to. So let's. I hope you all can help me keep the sponsors here at Geek News Central happy, and that will definitely help out in the long run. Now, I do want to point you out to a new thing that I'm trying on the website, and this is not a bag or anything, but one thing that we're trying over at Raw Voice is we have turned on some affiliate type stuff. And I've got two new icons on the third column of the website. One's for Skype and one is for Rhapsody. So if you are using Skype quite a bit and you're recharging and buying more minutes on Skype, I'd appreciate it if you come over to the website, click on the Skype link that's on the website when you're getting ready to recharge your minutes. And that will put a few pennies in the coffers here. And as well, if you're looking for a good music service, you're looking for an alternative to iTunes, definitely check out Rhapsody. Every subscription to Rhapsody brings some money back into the show as well. We'll be playing with that, and I'm not going to be talking about those offers very much. You just, you know, when you come over to the website and visit, you'll see stuff that's stuck in the third column, and it's all things that are done to support the show here. So appreciate it, and appreciate your support as well. Of course, if you want to make an impact online, you know where to go. GoDaddy.com has what you need. Domain names, hosting accounts, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, podcasting accounts. They've got it all. Check it out. When you pick up a product, make sure when you get to the checkout counter, enter the code TODD when you check out. That's Todd. And save an additional 10% on your order. Of course, you can always use Geek5 and save 15% on your order of $20 or more. And a new one I'm going to pass to you here is Central, C-E-N-T-R-A-L. You get $10 off your order of $50 or more. Get your PC internet, GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Had a conversation with Annie McCaskey, and I told you we're getting ready to change up the roundtable a little bit. And what we're going to be focusing on is bringing in more headline mainstream companies to present cool products that they have and talk to us about innovative things they have. So we're going to be going from a lot less podcaster-submitted stuff to a lot more content where we have people in, maybe one guest speaker per show with some additional commentary from the hosts that are hosting the events. Of course, that's all done on GoToMeeting. And these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's. Try it yourself free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. And thanks to all the sponsors here. It really helps out. It really, really does. And we appreciate your support. And of course, we appreciate all of you that stay subscribed to the show. It is most greatly appreciated. And of course, we hope that all of you continue to be members of the Ohana here and tell people about the show. All right, let me get into the stack. First of all, I do want to point out we've been putting a lot more regular content on geeknewscentral.com. So if you're not subscribed to the blog, please get subscribed. And you can do that via the main RSS feed at geeknewscentral.com/index.xml. There's a link to it on the second column of the website. Of course, the podcast link is there. You all know about that already. So if you subscribe to those two feeds, you won't miss a thing. And the RSS link to my link blog has not been really active lately, but I'll be working on that more here in the coming days as I have more time free up. But there was an article talked on, I don't know where the thread actually started, but it was debunked today as well on a couple other sites. But I do know that because I don't use FeedBurner, the number of subscribers that are on the that use Google Reader, subscribe to the Geek News Central website, I think totaled about 4,000 that were using just Google Reader. I was pretty surprised it was that high. I know that there's a large number. I know what the podcast audience does, but I was really surprised that that many came in via that single aggregator. And I know a lot of people use their own, like I use FeedDemon as my primary aggregator. So for those of you that are subscribed via Google Reader, definitely appreciate it. It was nice to see that the number of subscribers there was as high as it was. Okay, let me go ahead and boot up FeedDemon here, and I've got it all. There was, you know, on the last show, I had like three or four pages that somehow I missed. But they were good ones that I want to talk about. And a couple of them that I don't, that I'll just put in the excess category. But the first one that I found was a site over at english.freemap.jp. It's a Japanese website of all places. But it's a printable world map. And this is pretty cool. So if you're an educator, if you want something for your website, anything that you know, this is a map that you can use, that you can click on one of the countries, and it will, and you select the color from the color palette that you want it to print, and state colors will change, and it's really, really handy. Now, you have to, I used it in Firefox. It didn't work real good in Firefox, but it did work real well in Internet Explorer. But this is a cool feature. I took the United States map, and I got it printed out, and I gave it to my kids. And it just, it makes, you know, I know that a lot of this stuff is available online, but you can do these individual countries and subregions. It's really awesome. So definitely check out this printable world map. You'll be able to download the actual file, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this. I really do. And parents are going to have a cool time with it as well. Now, you can it has a little zoom feature as well, where you can zoom in, get a little tighter on things. So I don't know who put the time into building this, but it is probably what I kind of, my cool app of the day. I guess that's what we refer to it as. Okay, next up is what I had started to talk about in the earlier segment, talking about Google Reader stats. And Mashable.com is debunking some of the issues with this, in that many of the subscriber numbers can be to that are high. You know, there's a bunch of sites that they had listed, and I'll give an example here. Here is a site that has 74,043 subscribers. It's called Footbag Worldwide. I'm not kidding you. This is the site called Footbag Worldwide. Now, you're thinking to yourself, who in the world would actually, would 74,000 people want to read about footbags? I don't think so. And neither did Mashable, but the reason this site has 74,000 subscribers is because it's in a default feed in Google Reader. So if you're a Google Reader, and it's just part of your default package, you get it by default. So even though you probably have never read it, or actually you can't read it because the RSS file that they have it linked to doesn't exist. And they go on to talk about some other listings that are default listings that have huge number of subscribers. And it's because, hey, first of all, you know, they're in this default feed that Google provides. Now, whereas sites that are not necessarily in the default list, I think they are more accurately tracked. So Geek News Central is not in the default technology listing. I sure wish it would be, but it isn't. But I would have those inflated numbers as well if it was. So this is Mashable taking some of those sites to task. You know, they're saying, hey, bah humbug, you know, you're not in the top one. You know, you may have 75,000 people that are subscribed via Google Reader, but in fact, you really, you know, 70,000 of them may be the only ones, you know, they don't even know you exist, because maybe they never go in that, to that category and actually look at any of those feeds. So it goes back to what I call the engagement factor. And this audience proves month to month you have a very, very high engagement factor. I look at the number of emails you send me each month, look at the voicemails that come in. You all are engaged with this show. So I think, you know, it really doesn't matter, I guess, what the subscriber numbers are. all that really matters is if you're engaged, and I appreciate that you are engaged, and I hope that you stay engaged, and I hope you keep me squared away. If I start messing up, jack me up. You know, that's the fun of the show, is that you all kind of influence how I do things here. And although there's been a few that have tried to influence me to do 30-minute shows, and I don't think they're any longer listening. I think they've all went on to other podcasts, and I've kind of consoled myself not to pay attention too close to the clock. I do watch it, but not dwell on it for sure. But anyway, you guys can check this out as well, and check out all you have to do to check out, see what your subscribers' numbers are via Google Reader. If you want to do this, is go into Google Reader, do add subscription, and then type in some keyword that would really help your show come out. So like what I did for Geek News Central is I did Geek News Central, all one word, and boom, it popped up my three feeds. I was able to add the totals up and come up with whatever it was, $38.75 or something like that. But you can do that on your own websites and see how they're doing. And I actually found you're going to all laugh here. Very early on, I actually had set up a FeedBurner account for my site. I never had promoted it, never linked to it. I actually had canceled it. It was supposed to be non-existent, and it still exists, and there's like 250 people subscribed to it. So if you're listening to this show and you look in your Google Reader and you are here via a FeedBurner feed, get off that thing. Come over to geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml or index.xml, whichever feed you want to be subscribed to, because that FeedBurner feed is not even supposed to be there. Something I tried, when they first opened up, I played with it a little bit and decided it was not a service I wanted to promote, and I continue not to want to promote. All right, there's a great article on Voice IP Watch, and it talks about some insightful thinking about video conferencing for business. Now, many of you are probably in companies that have video conferencing. You have probably some video email. But how many of you are in those companies have solutions that are being provided by companies like Polycom, Tanberg, HP, Cisco, Lifesize, and other of those companies that have these enterprise-level offerings? I'm sure many of you have that. Well, this article goes into really, as it's entitled, some insights. Who today in today's business wants to have a enterprise level system in your office that requires people to be in the office? You know, today's a mobile society. You're traveling, you're on the move, you're doing different things. You want to be able to have, just like GoToMeeting, you want to be able to do a web conferencing solution anywhere. You want to be able to have a meeting online at any place, anytime. And same thing with your teleconference stuff, with your video teleconference. You want to be able to instantly launch that, send emails, video emails. You know, it's all the rage right now. It really is. And for people that are road warriors, you know, you learn to work with a lot of cool technology out there. Now, a site that I've just found tonight, and I'd seen two articles referenced to it earlier in the week, and it just didn't pique my interest enough to go over there. But the site is called SiteSpeed, SiteSpeed.com. And they have released a small business release that there is a small business release coming out in a few days that is going to compete with the big boys over at Cisco and HP. So definitely if you're a small business and you're looking for a video solution, video conferencing solution or a video email solution that is giving you enterprise level types of services, you're definitely going to want to check out SiteSpeed.com. And matter of fact, haven't talked with my guys or my team about this yet, but I could see this site very easily becoming an integral part of the things we do. We're a virtual company, after all. And matter of fact, I did a post on Geek News Central this past weekend about how our experience has been in building a virtual company. And it actually goes into, you know, some of the dilemmas we faced early on, and I guess maybe it'd be a good segue to talk about this. And if you haven't read the article, I encourage you to go over there and do so, because I'm only going to cover the high points here. when I formed Raw Voice, I did so with a full understanding that there was no way in the world that I would ever be able to, in at least in the context of the time that I started the company, be able to move to Silicon Valley. First of all, I was in the Navy, had another 2 years commitment. I was still traveling. Even though I was flying a desk and not being on a ship or flying around in an aircraft anywhere, my day schedule was pretty stable, and I knew I'd have access to the internet. So when we built the company and had all our team members, you know, spread out through Colorado, Michigan, Ohio, and New York, it was done with the understanding that we would do everything virtual. We do voicemail, IP, instant messaging. We use all the collaborative stuff to be able to have just like the central office location, revision control. We have, all of our documents are accessible via a network system that we can, you know, it's just like I go to my networking tools and I click on a folder and boom, I've got all the files that would be available as if I was in an office with someone. And let's say Angelo goes and makes a change on a document on his end. As soon as he saves it and all he has to do is submit it to the revision control system, and boom, it pushes up to the centralized storage area that syncs out to us. And within, you know, a few seconds, I have the new document on my website. And if I make a change, we've got all the revision stuff stacked in. It's just a beautiful way to work. And you don't have to, you know, I understand the connection points of being in Silicon Valley, but some companies just do not have that option. So I talk a little bit about some of the things that we faced at Raw Voice by not being in Silicon Valley, and probably why we won't go to Silicon Valley. You know, there's really no need to. And we keep everybody happy. Probably if we had went to Silicon Valley, we probably would have had two or three divorces and the company probably wouldn't exist today. And, you know, it's give us the ability to keep our overhead low and work fast and be able to have, you know, a lot of fun. You know, that's the main thing. So anyway, enough on that. And I kind of transgressed here from this insightful thinking on about video conferencing. But it just goes into this whole mantra I was on this weekend talking about a virtual company and being mobile. So definitely check this out. Check this link out. It's a great read. Any of you, even a small business, big business, you'll definitely want to read this. Now, on the last show, I don't think I mentioned this, but it was Friday, October 12th, Google announced that Gmail storage was going to continue to climb and that the counter is going to be increasing its speed, and you're going to be seeing a lot more storage coming to your Gmail account. So those of you that are using Gmail, good news on that front from that. Okay, I do read our competitors' blogs, of course, and I get lots of good information from them. But Cameron Riley, who runs the podcast network out of Australia, he has a post up today, How to Get Scammed in Second Life. And I was really kind of surprised what happened to Carmen in Second Life. He had rented some land, and the person was renting it from, was subleasing it, and he got evicted, and he ended up spending a whole bunch of money he didn't need to. And it's pretty basic out there. You know, if you want to have a presence on Second Life, you just buy some land, and then you don't have to worry about paying rent to be on stuff, and you just pay your monthly charge. I hope he gets this figured out real soon, but if any of you are dabbling in Second Life and you're looking to rent an area, you definitely read this article, because it's just much better, just like anywhere else, in a virtual community or real world, to buy land versus renting. There's so many more advantages, and all the real world advantages result in tax deductions and all this other things. You don't have to worry about getting kicked off your property by renting in Second Life. So a link will be up in the show notes of that, of course. I do have a fun image for you to look at, and I think you'll get a little chuckle out of it. It'll be in the extras column today. That's all I'll say about that. Okay, there's several of you have been sending me emails saying, hey, Todd, you know, why do you need this Windows Home Server? Really, why do you need it? Why do you want it? You know, is it really that good? I want to point a article out over on Ars Technica that talks about Windows Home Server and gives a pretty good overview of it. talks about what it is, what it does, what it isn't. This is a pretty comprehensive write-up. I've got to get my copy ordered. Have not heard from, I need to do a search on my email. I have not heard from a friend that listens to the show on this, but I'm excited about getting Windows Home Server installed here on a production machine, and we'll talk about more about that as I get to that at that point in juncture of installing it. There's a good article over on GetSatisfaction.com, and if you're a Facebook user, you'll definitely want to read this. 13 reasons your Facebook account will be disabled. And it goes into the 13 different reasons. And I have to laugh about one of the things in here. Number 6, your school / organization affiliation is doubtful. You know, I would bet you that a lot of people have not went to college that are on Facebook. Some of the Facebook folks are essentially whining that they're being invaded by us older people, and that the collaborative stuff that they were, you know, being able to do as a community within college groups is being infringed upon. Well, you know what? These guys need to get over it. Facebook's going for the big bucks, and they want everyone essentially in the world to have a Facebook account. I do find it a little annoying being on Facebook and getting, because I don't stay logged in, and I'll get emails from people when I get message from within the system. I would just much rather, if it's going to email me the notice, why doesn't it send me the information in that it's being sent so that I can reply and email straight back to it without having to log in? That would be just so much easier, but instead I have to click the link, log in, and this is something I figured out the last couple of days. I said, man, we need to make sure that the raw voice generator, which drives Blueberry and our other communities, we have the functionality. If someone sends a comment on the system and we email the comment notification, we need to do just what I just said, put the comment in there and make an ability for the podcaster to reply directly from within the email instead of having to log into the system. It just makes so much more sense over the long run. So, Angelo, if you're listening, add that to your wish list and to your development list. I know you're going, oh man, more work, but you know, it's just things like that that I think as us as a audience and as users of these sites begin to understand what we like and don't like about different sites, and it's important that we drink our own Kool-Aid. It's, you know, it only makes sense, and it we'd be hypocrites if we didn't. So anyway, this article on 13 reasons your Facebook account will be disabled will be up in the show notes. Definitely check that out. Those of you that are PHP developers out there, first of all, I'd love to have you working for me. So if you're a PHP developer, number one, I definitely email me. You know, I've got one of you that listened to the show that has been doing some work for us, and definitely looking for some more. So you got some odd jobs. If you'll make some extra cash on the side, definitely send me an email at ceo@rawvoice.com versus the show email at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can always send comments about the show tonight to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. But this next article is about 40 tips for optimizing your PHP code. And I wish the folks that we had hired as our offshore developers, who we are no longer working with, called HiddenBrains.com, had actually read these 40 tips, because, boy, they just weren't proficient in code writing. And, you know, people will talk a lot of, you know, they'll talk a lot of smack, but, boy, when it comes to actually doing work, it's amazing. It really is. So I am looking for another offshore firm, you know, and I'm willing to try it, give it a roll of the dice here another time. So if you had a good experience with someone, definitely let me know about that. And if you're a PHP developer, doesn't matter where you're at, I'm looking to hire people to do some jobs for us. So definitely send me an email. All right, news out of AOL. They're going to be cutting another 2,000 jobs. And their global workforce is being slashed again as they continue to transition from an internet access provider company to an online advertising company. So this eliminates about 20% of its workforce on top of the 5,000 positions cut last fall. So it definitely looks like that you know, a bunch of people in the United States, here we are. We're heading into essentially, we're almost in the holiday period, and they're going to be, you know, given pink slips and going to be drawn unemployment. Pretty sad. You know, I don't have a strong liking for AOL. I've said for a long, you know, and basically, and what it originates from is way, way, way back. And maybe some of you were not exposed to this. Those of you that were younger were not. But when the internet kicked off, when the real World Wide Web really got going, and we made this transition from bulletin board systems where everybody was dialing up locally to dialing into an ISP, AOL really made it simple for people to get online. And they sent out millions and millions and millions of CDs with their software on it with free trials. I think probably at one time, I think it was said that AOL was like domineering like 75% of the CD production market, because they were turning around and remailing them to, you know, millions of people. Well, I just got, you know, here I am, a techie guy, and it just made me shudder to think that people would load this software up to connect to the internet, to use, you know, to be in this walled garden of AOL originally, and it was a walled garden. You could barely get out onto the internet. People would say, "Oh yeah, I'm on the internet. I've got an AOL account," and I would just, you know, I'd look at them. And the geek in me would be like, "Oh, not another one. Let me help you." You know, so, you know, I would be my quest to show them how they could, you know, spend $14.95 versus $24.95 and be on a local internet service provider and dial in and have all this other, you know, realms of possibilities. And I converted a few guys, but there was this one buddy of mine who was a big AOL user, and he owned stock in the company, and he used to always brag on how his stock was going out, how he would never sell his AOL stock. And I'm almost positive today he probably does not own AOL stock anymore. But anyway, I'll quit dragging on AOL. I've gotten beat up before quite badly by some of you in the audience. Don't take it the wrong way. I understand that they made it real, real easy for people to get online. But the geek in me just shuddered. It really, really did when very early on, when people said, "Oh, I'm on the internet, I'm on AOL," it just, and I'm sure this will resonate with some of you out there, and the rest of you will be maybe mad at me, but please don't be mad. Don't take it the wrong way. And hopefully none of you are dialing in on AOL anymore. If you are, let me know. I'd love to hear why. If it's because you're in a rural area and are stuck on dial up, then that's okay. I can understand that, but I'm sure many of you are on different systems. Golly, little do y'all know, I've actually stopped the recording 5 times tonight. The phone's ringing off the hook. Everyone's trying to find out what my in-laws are going to be doing. They want to take them to dinner. They're all leaving on Wednesday. So everybody's trying to get their little, I tell them, okay, everybody pull their money together. We'll go someplace real nice tomorrow. I'm sure that's going to go over Well, anyway, let's go on here. Okay, those of you that are using WordPress, you know, I think it's the WordPress community has actually got a lot of great plugins, of course, but I do like to see some raw code from time to time that gives you some options to spice up your website a little bit with stuff that you maybe would never know how to do. And I've got a link here to web designer Wall. And he's got some WordPress theme hacks that you can use. And these look like some pretty cool ones. I'm going to be playing around with my mom's blog is on a WordPress blog, so I'm going to be playing around with some of these on her site. And but I think you'll get some use out of them. Link will be in the show notes, of course, so check that out, of course, at geeknewscentral.com. How many of you have to write press releases? Well, I know I do. And even though this isn't a techie thing, I think I found a pretty good a way to, help you write a good press release. And this is part one of a series that's going to be out on blog.evisibility.com. And while some people kind of scoff at writing press releases anymore, they definitely help with search engine optimization. And really, when you want to get the word out on something in a big way, it's always good to do a press release. So I'll put this link up in the show notes, and you guys can definitely subscribe to this feed so that you can get all the different lessons that are going to be put out on how to write a great press release, and it definitely will help you out. Okay, I'm going to skip that. Then I'll just go into extra notes. Another one that I'll skip here. Okay, next one moving on. Okay, here's a good one. Over on Wired, and I've actually been getting some emails from you all saying the same thing, like, what's jailbreak? What's bricking? What's apps? If you're looking for definitions on the some new terms or some modified terms that are being used in the iPhone arena, I'll have a link up to an article on Wired that explains all of these acronyms and words that they're using in conjunction with the iPhone. It's kind of cropped up here recently that some of you may not be used to. Next article, this is just a fun one. I have to share this with you, though. It's over at cachto.net, and I have a link up to it in the show notes. But you put in here how much money you earn on a monthly basis, and then what it does is it starts calculating for you. It actually tells you how much you earn per day, per hour, per minute, per second, and it actually has a little counter that counts up, and all you have to do is you come back to this page every now and then and play with it and, you know, put in some examples, and if nothing else, you can see how much money you're making on a second-by-second basis. So a lot of fun, good fun one. All right, there's an article on Engadget, and this is more iPhone-related stuff, how Greenpeace has dismantled an iPhone and discovered hazardous chemicals that went into building it. And, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit on this because anything, a computer, a television, your laptop, your camera, you know, they're all made of materials that in the production process are more than likely hazardous. Okay, now in the form that they reside in after it's being designed maybe is not necessarily hazardous, but you know, nothing in this world that is made does not have some sort of a byproduct, you know, especially if it's mechanical. It doesn't have some kind of byproduct that's bad or has some of that product embedded in a, you know, in a maybe stable or sealed format. So, you know, they're going out saying, "Oh, Apple, you're so bad. You're so bad. You've got some hazardous stuff in here. You've got, you know," and they just, you know, they've really, I think they go off the deep end a little bit too much on this. I think it's irresponsible of people though to dispose of stuff incorrectly. You know, if you have stuff in your home, if you have computers and TVs, you know, make sure that they get disposed of correctly, go to the recycle spot, somewhere that handles the material correctly, so that way what you buy you don't reintroduce in a bad way into the environment. And now I don't think too many of you are going to have your kids tear apart your iPhone and go into it and you know, and lick or be exposed to anything that's inside it. I just don't see that happening, and I don't see them breaking stuff. You know, it's a little bit over the edge. I'm sure some of you are going to react to this here, but it's saying that it was found that the iPhone contained toxic brominated compounds, indicating the presence of brominated flame retardants and hazardous PVC. Well, I guess there are, some of these are not being allowed across the pond due to whatever this ROHS requirements are. I'm sure that's some international standard, but you know, come on now. You know, there is a certain process that's made in putting components together. And, you know, I think it's, you know, start tearing cars apart, Greenpeace. Start tearing televisions apart or liquid plasma displays. Come on, let's, you know, go a little further here. If you're going to go after Apple, go after the rest of the guys. You know, you want this technology, you have to build it. And in order to build it, you have to use materials that are, you know, in their native or, you know, in their normal format, not necessarily compounded and integrated, are bad. But gosh, it just it drives me a little crazy a little bit. It really does to see everyone. It's kind of like a bunch of hypocrites. You know, you see the environmentalists talking about, oh, make sure that you you know, you drive an environmentally safe car, and a guy drives away in an SUV. You know, okay, you know, okay. Over on Engadget, Broadcom is introducing inexpensive 3G phone on a chip solution. And this is really, really good news because this chip is supposedly pretty low power. It's a relatively low price tag, but when the companies can buy them in bulk, it's going to be like $23. But 3G phone on a chip is important because part of the problem with some of these devices is that the 3G components have been so big, it would increase the phone size. And getting the 3G on a telephone or on a chip is going to make for a lot more devices be able to have 3G on. This probably, if Apple and other companies play their cards right, will allow their phones to go 3G, and not sacrifice size and battery power and all this other stuff. So really, really cool information here. We'll see what happens as the, you know, this is probably, before we see this out on the street, probably a year away, but very, very cool. Hey, Hitachi has announced a breakthrough in hard drives. They're saying we're going to have a 4-terabyte disk by the year 2011 using perpendicular formatting of the drives. So this is really, this is awesome. 4 terabytes. Just think about that for just 30 seconds. 4 terabytes on a single disk. We're going to need it. We're going to need that storage. You think about, I shot an hour's worth of high-def video on Saturday. We went to see the Blue Angels, Blue Angels on the Bay at Marine Corps Base Kaneohe. It was a wonderful show. It was great to take my in-laws to the show. They got to see the Blue Angels for the first time. And, of course, we're absolutely amazed by the performance, as many other and millions of people have been. Of course, one-sided here in saying that the Blue Angels are the best flight demonstration team. I know there's a few Air Force people that listen to the show that probably would disagree. But, you can't beat, Fat Albert being taken off and doing a JADO assist takeoff and seeing that and the way the Blues fly. It's truly spectacular. But anyway, shot this hour worth of high-def video. And, I got it downloaded onto my external hard drive. And I'm looking at the size of this thing. It's a monster. It's a monster file. And, I want to keep that raw footage. I don't know why, because once I get it cut up and into a package that I'll burn onto a DVD, I really don't need the high def, but I don't have a Blu-ray or HD DVD burner yet. So guess what? That's going to be coming, and I'm going to want to play around with that when the price is right. So for now, I'm going to keep all this stuff. And 4 terabytes by 2011 can't happen fast enough. It really can't, because we're all going to be memory hogs here. All right, I do not recommend this to be done by anyone. I can't guarantee the consequences of what will happen if the phone company finds out that you do it. But there's a how-to article on tapping into the phone company's power. In other words, the power that's within your phone jack. Now, this is really risky stuff here, but they've actually designed a little jack that will plug into the phone circuit that will power a light. This is supposedly a emergency situation where you need to have a light in an emergency situation. But based upon, these guys have no ideas what the phone system is capable of carrying amp-wise. There's a whole bunch of consequences here to this. But they've got this how-to on how you can, power a little LED light off of your phone jack in your home if you still have a regular landline. You do realize there is power on that line, right? It is the way phones get powered that don't plug in. That's pretty obvious if you did not know that. All right. This is an amazing stunt. I'm just shocked that these guys didn't get caught. But I think the thing I want to have you pay attention to is a video that I'm going to link you to on two gentlemen that drove from New York to L.A. in 31 hours and 4 minutes, averaging a speed of 81 miles per hour, apparently with top speeds of 145 miles per hour. And the technology that they used to avoid the law enforcement agency was pretty significant. Lots of great radios that they used. It was and a great radar detectors. So, you know, if you're looking for the latest G-Wiz stuff for inside a car, these guys had it. I mean, they really did. And I have no idea how they avoided from getting caught, but drove coast to coast 31 hours, average speed 89 miles per hour. That is huge. Now, they did this over a year ago, but they had to wait till the statute of limitations run out in all the states that they drove through so that they would not get, you know, post-arrested because of this stunt. But a lot of stuff's going to be posted on YouTube over it. And they also talk about some of the technology as well, so I have a link up to that as well. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about this this feat that was done last year. Nick Bradbury over the developer FeeDemon says a new attention report is coming in FeeDemon 2.6. I'm really excited about this. This is Feed Orders by Attention, and he actually talked about some other attention-type features used in APML. And I'm really excited about what's going on there. I need to read up and find out more about that particular format. But good stuff Nick's doing. If you haven't used FeeDemon already, I highly recommend you give it a try. It is the feed reader that I use every day for blogging, putting this show together, and so forth. Camtasia version 5 is out. I did an upgrade myself. I think the upgrade cost me $149. It is the absolute best professional screencasting application you can buy. It's really, really great. There's a good review on it, on the new Camtasia 5. I'll have the link up to that in the show notes. But it's got a couple features that are still missing that I really want, but it's getting better time after time. It is not cheap necessarily if you're buying it for the first time. I think retail on it is $399, but I use it for all of my screencast video. Anything I do screencasting, I use Camtasia. It just makes it's so easy. It really, really is. I'm sure many of you have used other applications. Mac users probably use different software as well. But for editing and putting together great presentations, Camtasia is really it. So Camtasia version 5 available today. And pretty quick turnaround from Camtasia version 4 to 5. I did a little bit eye-open thinking, it's been less than a year, so I didn't know if they were milking us a little bit too hard, but the upgrade and the new features are definitely worth it. Those of you that download music via iTunes, DRM-free tracks are expanding and dropping to 99 cents, so that's good news. You'll be able to get the cost of DRM-free music the same price as a normal song. It went down from $1.29 to 99 cents, so good on that. I think what drove this was a response to the Amazon MP3 store. And if you haven't checked out the Amazon MP3 store yet, you need to. They're going to give iTunes a definite run for their money. And I know some of you are not Apple fanboys, and you're looking for an alternative. Amazon MP3 is definitely a good choice. So check that out as well. And I'll have the link up to this iTunes DRM free new pricing in the show notes tonight. Okay, I think I just messed myself up. I need to go. I went the wrong way. Okay, Google's unveiled a YouTube anti-piracy tool. I don't know how well this is going to work, but they made a big deal about it today. And this is in response to all the copyright holders out there complaining that there's a lot of infringement going on. The only people that are going to be able to upload videos longer than 10 minutes are those that are publishers. Fortunately, I have a publisher's account over on YouTube. Don't use it a lot, but if you're posting stuff to YouTube, you're going to be limited to 10 minutes, and they're going to have a very much stricter copyright policy. Anything that you upload is going to have a CRC checksum assigned to it, and then if there's a takedown notice for it, they're going to be watching for it. There's not going to be a lot of duplicate uploads. So I think this is going to eliminate a lot of duplicate content on the system as well. So we'll keep our eyes peeled, and we'll see how well that does. Kind of snooze in here, but the Soyuz docked with the International Space Station. So they made their rendezvous and a good docking on Friday. So good luck to the new crew as they make the changeover up there. So they're going to be the remaining the crew members that are coming back are going to be returning on October 21st, shortly before the space shuttle is scheduled to make its next trip to the International Space Station. The Japanese also released some lunar images. The Japanese Kaguya Lunar Orbiter, I'm probably just destroyed that. My wife, is she's up here, she'd kill me. But the orbiter reached the first of two subsatellites earlier this week. And it's got some first images. Now, the satellite itself is now, or the orbiter, is descending, getting into a lower orbit. I think these pictures were taken between 800 and 1,500 kilometers above the surface. So they've got a ways to go yet before they, a couple weeks before they're at their closest elliptical range. So we'll keep you updated on that as well. If you're a Verizon customer, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, you need to really be watching what Verizon is sending you in your mailbox. Verizon Wireless is trying to change its policy on what it can do with your calling record info. Now, pay attention here. They're trying to change their policy on what they can do with your calling record info. TechDirt is reporting that it appears that they want to start selling that data to marketers. And they have had to make a change to the terms of service. And what they supposedly did, and I don't know, I'm not a Verizon customer, was send customers a letter telling them they had 30 days to call and opt out of this new plan to hand over your calling records or you'd have automatically accepted their changed terms of service. And Verizon Wireless could hand over the info to advertisers. So you need to pay attention to this. If you're a Verizon customer and you may have thrown that piece of mail in the trash, and you get on the telephone. This is really, really sneaky. You know, how many of you get those notices and you just throw them away? But it appears, and this is what the quote is from TechDirt, Verizon Wireless seemed to think that sending this letter was with its fine print and demanding people opt out within 30 days fall under explicit consent, though some customers will likely disagree. And part of this is in response to some rules that the FCC has on how telecoms shouldn't be able to release info to third parties without explicit consent from a customer. So this is where they're headed here. Pay attention to this, folks. Those of you that are Verizon customers, unless you want your data sold to the highest bidder, make sure you opt out, okay? All right, I think that's all I've got. Wow, I got to the end. Good timing here. 57 minutes, got some time to get into some voicemail and email comments. As always, your comments about the show can come to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Kind of like a little status check here. Where do you think we're at with the show? How's it been? Where has it been on par, lower than normal? Where are we rated at? Are you listening more often? When are you listening? I'd like to get some feedback from you, from y'all. You know, just drop me a line. Yep, it shows better, shows worse. You're doing something wrong. You're doing something good. Really want to hear from you. Really, I mean, just, you know, I think I know how we're doing. But I guess I just need a little feedback from y'all. And I definitely appreciate anything that you send me. It's all good. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Let's get in. I haven't pre-screened these voicemails. And both of them are pretty long. So we'll see what happens here with these. So let me go ahead and get into the first one.
Todd, hey, it's Brian.
Hey, Brian.
That story you touched on, I think it was two shows ago, or maybe three. About in the UK, the people who were record companies that were trying to sue people who were playing their music too loud that other people could hear.
Like crazy,
you had
yeah.
to have, pay for the rights or something to hear someone else's loud radio. Do you ever follow up on that and find out if that was true or not, or was it like a joke? Because
it was
I
a real
used
deal.
To joke about that. Like, what's next? You know, am I going to, like, because somebody's playing their car radio too loud or something, do I have to like buy the rights to be able to hear that? I mean, the truth is you should be able to sue them by subjecting you to that. It reminds me of the agricultural thing with the seed patents, where if one of these patented seeds blows into your field and that crop grows, they can come sue you, as if you're responsible for keeping the seeds out. Anyway, I just wondered if that was a joke or not. It just seemed to, I mean, literally, I used to make that joke about that or some other media on a television in a bar or whatever, that you're going to be sued because you don't have didn't pay for the rights to watch it. But something I wanted to point out to you, I don't know if you know what, that I just read, I don't know if you know what PANAC is. It's a political think tank called Project for New American Century. In their mission statement, I think, or one of their original doctrines, late 90s, maybe around 98 or something, they call for, one of the things on their agenda is political control of the internet. And I'm not sure but if you know about this organization, but they're not just like a bunch of sort of average people with some sort of agenda. They're very powerful people that are either still in political office, have recently been in political office, or are high places in business. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people that that don't want a fair internet, and that is perfect indication of it. If anyone thinks that there's not people trying to take that away, they really need to think again. You don't get like much more of a powerful organization than that. All right, look forward to the show.
Hey, thanks for calling. And as far as that UK deal, yeah, that's the real deal. You know, essentially it was a business, a car dealership or a repair shop of some sort. You know, the mechanics are playing music, and that's considered a performance when people within the business can hear the music. It's no different than being in a bar and the bar having a jukebox and you're playing music out of the jukebox, and even though you're dumping money into it, and the guy that's renting that probably has the jukebox in there for a rental, he's paying money to ASCAP and all these other people. They have their hands out. But also the bar has to pay a licensing fee too. That's, you know, that was a big thing. Matter of fact, back in the day when I was doing some DJ stuff, I also was involved in distributing music videos. And it was when the music, you know, when MTV and VH1 originally kicked off, it was really music videos. But we were able to get licensed VHS tapes that you could, we would rent to a club. And if I remember correctly, the longest the club could have the tape was 2 weeks, and then the club had to pay a fee, and it was all built into the processing fee. But, you know, that's been in existence for a long time, and it's in the United States as well. So, yeah, that was a real scoop. And as far as that other group go, nope, I don't have any data on them. I really don't. Don't know. We have to look that up on the internet and find out what the skinny on that is. Don't follow the political stuff too much. So, but you know, if it crosses the ties of the internet, I should know, but I definitely don't. But thanks for your voicemail. Definitely appreciate it. That was a great one. You know, submit stuff on a regular basis, and would love to hear from you. All right, here's the next voicemail.
Hello, Todd. It's me, Hamid Campos. Again, I comment on your past shows, and they were very interesting. These two past shows, and you know, some of the things were very curious, you know what I'm saying? And also, you know, like the thing about the government in California shutting down the .gov thing, the domain, that was pretty curious. I wonder how that happened. But in any event, that's good. Another show I heard about, you said that the Windows Home Service now, you know, like being sold. Actually, it's like, you know, in stores. Cool, man. And also the hard drive thing, that's awesome. The hybrid hard drive, I want one of those. It sounds cool. And you remember, I want one of the Windows Home Server things, too. Have you heard any more about I think it was called the Sound Pro or something. You mentioned it on one of the 200 shows. It was like either 207 or 208. You know, the thing that to me, it sounded kind of like a sound card thing, but it had an XLR connection, you said, and it had phantom power and that kind of thing. I forget what it was called, but Have you heard any more on that thing? Because we still want that. So, and, as far as Vista, well, I haven't really used it that much. I've checked out a laptop with Vista because I wanted to see if my stuff was ready for it. But I'm going to quote Rick Harmon, who's another blind podcaster like Daryl Shandro. And by the way, I happen to, well, not know him in person, but I've heard his podcast, and I've heard him on another podcast called Blind Cool Tech, but that's off the subject. The point is, Rick Harmon says that, sure, there may be a few problems here and there with Vista, but, I mean, especially if you're going to get a new computer. You know, he was saying they had to bite the bullet, you know, saying it's, that's what's on the computer, you know what I'm saying? So don't bother telling them to put XP on it. You know, just bite the bullet and cut to XP and, you know what I'm saying? It's just where we're all going to go in any event at some point anyway. And also, from my point of view, you know what I'm saying? Because I like things, in, you know, about with sound and, you know what I'm saying? It's, I hear that it has better support for surround sound than XP does. So that's one of the reasons I would go to Vista. So that's it, and, So talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for calling. Definitely appreciate it. And I think, I don't know if, I'm trying to think back on what I was referring to on sound. It has phantom power. If you find the link, send it to me via email, of course. You weren't referring to the Focusrite Sapphire, the portable device that I bought for recording on the road, were you? Is that what you were referring to? I'm not sure. You know, I got a lot of emails this last show from some folks. We'll talk about it here in a few minutes about upgrading to Vista. And a bunch of people are pushing me to do so. And, you know, I just I keep talking to people, and people are having nothing but bad experiences with Vista. Now, I know several on the show are having great experience with it. Some of you had great experience with Outlook. But life is much, much, much better now that I'm running Thunderbird. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Whatever Microsoft did with Outlook 2007 did not agree with my PC whatsoever. But Thunderbird is running like a champ, and I have my life back again when it's checking mail. But again, hey, thanks to all the callers. Definitely appreciate your feedback as well. Let's go ahead and get into the show comments here. Let's hear what... what is today's date? I got to back up and make sure I don't miss any. All right, I got quite a few here. Got an email from Dan. Hey, Todd, just some feedback from you for your 307 in regards to Windows Live Mail. If you haven't tried it out yet, I would highly recommend you do so. I can almost guarantee that you'll like it much better than Thunderbird after hearing what you thought about Thunderbird's junk email filtering. I did get that fixed, Dan. I was able to, I got a bunch of email from listeners of the show saying, hey, here's what you've done wrong, fix this, and I got it working. I am still going to check it out, though, and I appreciate it. And thanks for sending me the screenshot, too. Very, very cool. It looks virtual. But again, I will give it a shot. Thanks for your feedback. Got an email from James. And he sent me some links to some cool stuff. First one is linked up, says Space Toilet. So that should make you all wonder what that's all about. So in the subtitle of that is, the next time you consider wishing on a shooting star, you may think of it as a little waste. So that should be a fun article for everyone to read. That'll be in the listener links. Got an email from Ken. He said, talking about the FCC voting to lifting regulations on AT&T's broadband business. And essentially what this is it's in relation to some of the peering relationships that some of the companies that have other internet service providers have with AT&T on this ruling. Essentially is going to make it much harder for independent internet service providers to interconnect on AT&T's backbone without, basically they're going to have to pay a higher rate. Essentially, before it was set up so that it was, they got it at cost. Essentially, got access at cost. Got an email from Michael. Hey Todd, I truly thought when I sent this email last week, but when I went looking for it in my sent items, it wasn't there. If this is a duplicate, please forgive me. You know, it's how it's like to get old. Yep. He goes on to say, last week a caller commented on boycotting Sony because of the honestly stupid comment of the Sony BMG lawyer. Without ripping CDs being stealing, As a Sony, not BMG employee, I'm confused about the effectiveness of boycotting a conglomerate due to the actions of a single subsidiary. I hopefully make a case for being a little more strategic in my post, but I'll let you decide. And I'll have a link up to these in the show notes. Goes on to say here, I know that some of your listeners are getting tired of iPhone news, but you might get a kick out of my do-it-yourself 8-gig iPhone shuffle post. And another one it just goes on to say here, thanks for congratulations on the new career and so forth. And thanks, Mike. I definitely appreciate that. You know, I guess my big beef is that, you know, you get a name for a company. You know, Sony, that's a big name. Sony does something bad, what do you think about it? You think of the entire realm of Sony. You don't, you know, a lot of us don't realize that there's subdivisions and there's conglomerates and there's subsidiaries and there's, you know, whatever else they divide themselves into. I think all of us just think of it as one big mass, and as one person does a mistake and, you know, it says something dumb like that, then it just makes the rest of us go, ugh. And so, you know, I'm sure many of us will continue to buy Sony products as time goes on, for sure. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. As hopefully people at Sony quits making dumb comments. Got an email from Carl here. I said, hey, I was searching for some podcasts when I found this one. It was called On10.net, and I guess it's some kind of Microsoft thing, but I'm not sure. Anyhow, their latest segment was something called The Wheel Surfer. It's this incredible wheel where you sit in the middle of it, and with the help of an engine, you move forward. They have a pretty cool video up on their site in which they talk about the creator. Check it out on On10.net. Love the show. Keep it up. Thanks, Carl. And thanks for being one of our Swedish listeners and part of the Ohana here. Got an email from John. And John, thank you for your donation for the laptop per child drive. I definitely appreciate that. Goes on to say, when you were talking about the various music licensing schemes, it reminded me of what is happening in Canada. Well, it's stuff for debate. There is a legal opinion that the blank recording media levy we have to pay up here makes it legal to download, but not upload, music from the internet, regardless of the source of the download, since we, in effect, already been forced to pay for it. Of course, the record companies don't like this, and the CRIA, our RIAA, has now reversed this demand to have the levy extend to a portable device such as iPods, since many believe this bolsters our right to download. See the link at the end of this email for more. I just love the irony of this. Regards, best regards, John. And yes, very, very cool about what's going on, or not cool, but very interesting about what's going on in Canada. You know, it's simple, John. They want their cake, and they want to eat it too. That's all it boils down to. You know, they want to play by one set of rules, and then when some new technology comes up, oh no, the rules we had in effect for that is going to affect us in a negative way. Stop, change the rules. We don't want to do that no more. It is ironic, isn't it? It's totally ironic. Got an email from Tim. He said, "Tell listening to your latest podcast, I thought the article would fit your constant iPhone whining." I'm not whining about the iPhone. I'm just talking about the iPhone, Tim. Thanks for your link. Got an email from Scott. Said, hey, I have nothing bad to say about Vista. I started off with upgrading my Dell from XP to Vista. No problems. It runs so much smoother. The colors are so much brighter and clearer. It all runs and looks good. However, I was ready to buy a new computer, so I bought a new computer pre-installed with Vista Home Premium, and I love it even more. Recently, I emailed you about the Outlook Office 2007. I haven't noticed it slowed down my system or processing running in the background. Maybe that was something to do with me running Vista. My laptop still has XP because upgrading it to Vista is the least of my worries, but I noticed Office 2007 runs better in Vista. I was recently at Best Buy and I noticed on the case of Microsoft Office 2007 on the back says designed for Microsoft Vista, but going back to Vista, I lucked out that all the stuff, webcam, printer, scanner, digital camera, I lucked out as far as when Vista rolled out, my hardware already had Vista drivers. Just my quick tips to people pondering about running to Vista. Do the research first. Jot down all your hardware. Go to the manufacturer's website. Make sure the hardware, printers, scanners, webcams, digital cameras, whatever it is that you have is supported by Vista, and you should have no problems. Thanks a lot for that email, Scott. Definitely appreciate it. Got an email from DT here. Totally agree with your comment to my email that Thunderbird doesn't move the spam to the junk folder. My setup moves my spam to the junk folder if the mail is detected spam when it downs it from the server, but when you mark them as junk manually, it stays in the folder. My issue was it wasn't moving it there when it detected it, but I was able to make a few changes and fixed it. I got a whole bunch more email here. Got another email from Carl. And he says, I'm writing about my recent request for some Vista experience. I have been using Vista for a few weeks now, and I'm happy to say that as a user, I'm happy, very happy. But as a gamer, I'm not so happy. But I think that eventually it will be resolved. More about that later. Anyway, I made some money, so I decided it was time to upgrade my computer. I noticed a thing here. A lot of everybody's upgrading the stuff here. Now, Carl, your email, I've read your email. It really, I can't read the whole thing on the show here. And I do want to appreciate your feedback to me. And now you've had a good experience with the upgrade, except, of course, with the gaming system. So I do appreciate your feedback on that. But really, really extensive email. And maybe what I'll do is maybe put this up in a post somewhere. It's got a lot of good information. Here's one that's kind of interesting. I got an email from Danny out of Eastbourne, UK. He says, hey, Todd, I've been going back through logs of shows for The Tech Guy, which is hosted by Leo Laporte. And noticed on episode 374 that there is a voiceover that seems to advertise a review column. It starts around 43 minutes in the podcast. At first, I thought another source was playing the advertisement, so I flicked through all my tabs to see if there was an embedded flash playing the advert, but there wasn't. I paused the podcast to try and make some sense of the voice, but nothing happened. I pressed play on my media, and it started again. I have not contacted Leo because I think my email would just end up in the bin, but I hope you might be able to clear it up somehow. Or let it be known that he is doing this. I Google Leoport and subliminal message, but nothing related to the topic comes up. What do you think of this? Would you ever employ those methods of advertising? I don't fully understand what's going on here with this. I guess I'm going to have to listen to this. Was it an actual ad, or was it something that was inserted? Danny, I'm going to have to... If you've got the link to that episode, send it to me, please. I definitely would appreciate it. And I'll check it out and try to figure out what's going on there. But it's at 43 minutes on the Tech Guy Show, episode number 374, if anyone else wants to listen. All right, I've got a whole bunch more stuff here from people, but really, I need to close this out. I want to thank Tom, Barry, Richard, John for all sending emails. I'll probably try to get into your stuff on the next show. But just way too much stuff to cover tonight. As always, hey, thanks everybody for staying subscribed, being part of the Ohana here. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. We'll see you on Friday. Everyone take care. Have a great week. And, hey, hope we'll get a house tomorrow. Aloha.